I'd like to welcome everyone here to the Second Court of Appeals this afternoon. Thank you for coming. We've got two cases that will be argued today at 1:30 and then several other cases that will be submitted without argument afterwards. It's my understanding that all the attorneys have checked in and are ready. Before we begin, I'd like to introduce the panel to you. To my left is Justice Mark Pittman. To my right is Justice Lee Gabriel, and I'm Chief Justice Bonnie Sutterth. Would the clerk please call the case?
The court will now call Ms. B. Jackson individually and on behalf of the estate of Jane Young, deceased, and Roger Jackson versus Kendrick Hospital Limited Partnership DBA, Kendrick Hospital Fort Worth. May it please the court, Mary Matthews will argue for the appellant. Christina Nathan will argue for the appellant.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chief Justice, Honorable Justices, may it please the court. My name is Meredith Matthews, and I represent the appellant, Misty Jackson, individually and on behalf of the estate of her father, Roger J. Young. This is an appeal from a health care liability claim, which was filed under the Texas Medical Liability Act. Mr. Young was a resident at Appalachian Kindred Hospital's long-term care facility from January 8th of 2015 through April 9th of 2015. He was receiving physical rehabilitation therapy while he was a resident there. While under Kindred's care, Mr. Young developed several pressure ulcers, which ultimately led to sepsis, leading to his death on April 16th of 2015. Appellant filed this suit, the underlying suit, on October 6th, 2015. Appellants timely served an amended expert report of Dr. Manuel Eskildsen after being given 30 days to amend their original report at the trial court level. Kindred objected to that report, alleging that it failed to meet the standard of Chapter 74 in applicable case law. After a hearing, the trial court sustained Kindred's objections on July 8, 2016. Appellants filed a motion for reconsideration of the trial court's order granting Kindred's motion to dismiss on July 18, 2017, and an amended motion for reconsideration on August 2nd of 2017. The motions were denied on October 12, 2017, and the trial court entered final judgment as to appellant's claims against Kindred on January 4th, 2018. The issue here before the court is whether or not the trial court improperly dismissed the claims against Kindred. Pursuant to Chapter 74 of the Civil Practice and Remedies Code, a plaintiff in a medical malpractice lawsuit is required to provide an expert report within 120 days of filing suit. The purpose of the report is to provide a fair summary of the expert's opinion on specifically the opinion on standard of care, breach, and causation. The Texas Supreme Court has explained in Certified EMS versus Pott that in order to be a fair summary, the report must do two things. First, inform the defendant of the specific conduct that the plaintiff has called into question and provide a basis for the trial court to conclude that the claims have merit.
Tell me why the two reports don't conflict with each other, as your opponent argues.
Well, Your Honor, the Texas Supreme Court, as well as this court, has held very clearly that the report is to be evaluated on the four corners of the report, meaning the report as to Dr. Siddiqui, who was Mr. Young's treating physician, can't be used as outside evidence, if you will, to show that there's a contradiction, first. Second, even if the court were inclined to read the two reports concurrently, they're not necessarily in conflict with each other. As the court is well aware, two parties can be liable for the same injury, and it's ultimately up to the trier of fact to determine the percentage of liability of each party. So just because Dr. Siddiqui's conduct has been called into question doesn't mean that there wasn't also negligence on the part of Kindred Hospital. In this instance, Kindred had certain duties that they were required to meet based on Dr. Skilson's setting forth the standard of care, and Kindred failed to meet those. just because Dr. Siddiqui had his own requirements and duties of care that he needed to meet.
Let's talk specifics. As to the hospital, the general complaint is that they fail to notice or take note of the ulcers or the sores, okay, and didn't make a record of it.
Yes, Your
and
Honor.
Then as to the doctor, the complaint was you didn't act on the notes and the observations that there were sores. So tell me how you reconcile those two.
Well, Your Honor, the report, Dr. Skilton's report, outlines that Kindred was required to do more than the notes that they put in the hospital records. They should have specifically notified Dr. Siddiqui, flagged him down when he was at the hospital checking on Mr. Young, said, Dr. Siddiqui, please look at this, at these wounds that are on his scrotum and his penis and his sacrum that are oozing pus. The report makes very clear that Kindred was required to do more than just note those items in the record at the times that they did note them. Now, the report is to Dr. Siddiqui, says Dr. Siddiqui should have noticed based on what was the limited amount that were in the records, but just because he should have noticed the limited amount of what was in the records doesn't mean that Kindred doesn't also have an obligation
to do more,
which is what the report specifically says. In addition, this court has held in Otero versus Richardson that with respect to the standard of care and breach of the standard of care, an expert report statements regarding the standard of care and breach only need to identify what care was expected and not provided. So reading the report as to Kindred Hospital, based on its four corners of the report specifically does that. As Madam Chief Justice pointed out, the report outlines that Kindred failed to monitor, assess, and treat the infection. And then the report goes on to address more specific conduct that Kindred failed to do. And this is the criticism that appellees argue in their brief that the report fails to do, is they failed to outline specific acts that Kindred should have done, but that's not true. The report says specifically that Kindred was required to monitor and document Mr. Young's skin for any signs of developing an infection and note any changes in the medical records. Further, the report outlines that if signs of the developing infection were noted, the standard of care required Kindred to modify Mr. Young's care plan to prevent the spread of infection. The standard of care also required Kindred to monitor Mr. Young's treatment plan to ensure the antibiotic treatment was effective. That was later on down the line when he was diagnosed with pneumonia and was put on a course of antibiotics. Testing made clear that his white blood cell count was not going down as it should have been, and there was a period of several days when Kindred was aware of this, and they failed to notify Mr. Young's treating physician. That was a breach of the standard of care. And it's on pages 281 to 282 of the record that discuss, in the report that discuss the standard of care and outline it specifically. Similarly, the section of the report on the breach of the standard of care detailed how Kindred failed to monitor Mr. Young and modify his care plan when it was clear that the current one was not working. And there are several specific examples that Dr. Skilton gives in the report. And this is found on approximately pages 284 to 285 of the record. Mr. Young began to develop pressure sores on his buttocks, sacrum, scrotum, and penis shortly after his admission to the facility. The ulcer on his penis continued to worsen, developing abnormal drainage and pus. The same occurred to the wound on his scrotum. His perineum and buttocks had bloody drainage. The nurses never brought these issues to his treating physician's attention so that his treating physician could change his orders and treat the wounds. Second, Kindred failed to notify Mr. Young's physician of a urinalysis, which showed Mr. Young had a urinary tract infection, delaying him receiving antibiotics for 6 days. And that's, again, found at the record on page 284 to 85. Now, that in and of itself is an independent theory of liability, which is sufficient to allow this case to move forward. As this court held in INTS, as long as the Chapter 74 report establishes one theory of liability, the report is sufficient to allow the case to move forward. So even if the trial court were to find that the report was insufficient as to the issues related to the pressure ulcers or related to sepsis, the fact that the issue of the delay in treatment of his urinary tract infection was never addressed and never objected to at the court below is an independent ground that the court should be able to find the report was sufficient. And the third issue that the report specifically addresses with regard to breach of the standard of care is relating to the antibiotic treatment, which I discussed briefly earlier. The standard of care required the nurses monitor Mr. Young's condition to determine the effectiveness of his treatment. They failed to report to Dr. Siddiqui the results of those blood tests. The blood test showed his white blood cell count was not decreasing, meaning the antibiotics were ineffective. Several days went by before they informed Dr. Siddiqui of the results of these tests. And as a result, Mr. Young passed through the window of opportunity where he could have been treated by having a different antibiotic ordered. Now, the appellee's argument in their brief regarding the breach of the standard of care is solely limited to using Dr. Siddiqui's report against the report as to kindred.
Okay, I want to go back to that for just a minute. You, in response to the previous question, you said that the Supreme Court has clearly held that you can only consider the four corners of the expert report. What is your best case, if you have one, that you cannot compare these two expert reports to basically impeach the test, what the doctor says in one, what the expert says in one, with what he says in the second?
Certainly, Your Honor. We addressed this in our reply brief. I just want to make sure that I'm citing to the cases that I cited in my brief. American Transitional Care Centers of Texas versus Palacios, Bowie Memorial Hospital versus Wright, Tenet Hospitals versus Garcia, and this court's opinion in SCC Partners versus Entz also says that a report must be evaluated on the four corners of the report, and it cannot be used, and you can't bring in outside information. Now, a separate report would be outside information.
Any of these had this kind of fact situation where you've got conflicting expert, arguably conflicting expert reports?
Not specifically, no.
Okay.
The case that they cite to in their brief as justification as to why you can look at, read the reports together, is dealing with an instance where there was one report as to the standard of care and a separate report as to causation. Now, that is permissible under the law, and the statute makes clear that that's permissible as well, but it is done specifically to indicate that it is permissible in a situation where, for example, you may have a nurse to opine on the standard of care as it relates to nurses, but as the court's aware, a nurse cannot establish causation in a medical malpractice action. And so a physician must opine about causation.
That's the case that says you can stack them and consider them all together as a whole.
Yeah, that is the case that they cite too. And that's the specific instance that it's dealing with. It's not dealing with a situation like what we have here, where you have two parties that are potentially liable and you're using one report to contradict the other report. And I would also argue that at the end of the day, the reports aren't necessarily contradictory. As I stated earlier, it's very common where you have multiple tortfeasors who are negligent, and it is up to the trier of fact to determine their negligence. And the report clearly identifies actions.
The question's really not whether they're too negligent, the two actors that are negligent, but whether the story X and the story Y, the facts, are in conflict.
Yes.
Did they report, did they fail to report, or did the doctor fail to note the report?
Well, And I would say it's both. They reported some, but their reporting was insufficient. And I think Dr. Skildsen's report as to Kindred acknowledges that they did make some reports, because he notes it in the facts section. You know, scrotal abscess was noted in the records. Now, the report is to Dr. Siddiqui says Dr. Siddiqui should have noticed that and he didn't. And so that's on him, right? Whereas the report regarding Kindred says they had a higher duty than what they did here. And so the duty is separate for both of them, and they can both be responsible in this instance, given that they had competing duties. And I see my time is running out. Does the court have any specific additional question for me to answer at this time? Okay, and I would just say, at the end of the day, we ask that the court goes back to the lenient standard. The Chapter 74 report is written before any discovery is done, before any depositions are taken, and the only requirement is that we are to put the trial court level defendants on notice of the claims, and that's been done here. Thank you.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Christina Nason, and I represent Kindred Hospitals Limited Partnership, DBA Kindred Hospital, Fort Worth. The sole question in this interlocutory appeal is whether the Jacksons presented the adequate report against Kindred under Section 74.351. We all agree it's reviewed for an abuse of discretion. Under Palacios and Jelinek, the report was required to let Kindred know what conduct of its nurses was called into question and show the trial court that the claim has merit. And they have to do that by tying together standard of care, breach, and causation based on the facts presented. And I think that where this Dr. Siddiqui report comes in is the Dr. Siddiqui report, which was found to be good enough and sufficient by Judge Chupp, did do that. It tied those things together in a way that made sense. But in the report against Kindred, the standard of care that was stated by Dr. Eskildsen did not match up with breach, and then did not match up with causation. Counsel talked about how the nurses were perhaps supposed to do something more. Well, if you look at the record at pages 281 and 282 in the appendix, it's Dr. Eskildsen's report, and his standard of care, the only standard of care he gives for nurses as far as notification is documentation.
Which page are you on?
It's a clerk's record 281, page 15 of the expert report. And so if you look at that first paragraph of standard of care and the third paragraph and fourth paragraph, all that Dr. Eskildsen is talking about is documentation. He doesn't say, hey, this was a really bad out of the ordinary lab report, they should have faxed the record or called the physician. So for those breaches on February 17th with regard to the urine culture and on April 10th with regard to the labs, the nurses met that standard of care of documentation as stated by the facts in Dr. Eskildsen's own report and in the report against Kindred. And I've worked a lot, and people in my office worked a lot, trying to match those facts up in the Dr. Siddiqui report and in the Kindred report. And the facts pretty much match. The problem is that the facts as stated against the nurses don't line up with breach and causation because they did document.
You you referred to page 15 of the report as to be the only standard of care that he set forth was to document. But if you go on to page 16, the second paragraph, it goes into much more about the standard of care required that the facility perform continuing assessments, develop a plan to reassess the condition, and it goes through much more than just document.
Oh, I agree, Your Honor. I'm just talking about with regard to communication, with regard to communication of lab reports. With regard to, it does talk about skin assessments and documenting those skin assessments. So I'm just talking about the things that appellants are citing to about having to notify the doctor. They did notify the doctor, and they do so through the record. Dr. Siddiqui, and it's even shown through the report that Dr. Siddiqui is, you know, he's at the hospital all the time. And so Dr. Siddiqui is actually reading the documentation. And Dr. Espeldson could have put together a report that said that there was some other notification required. He just didn't. I mean, if the report was as clear as the appellant state in their brief, maybe they would have something. But this report doesn't do that.
This isn't even a fair summary, which is all that's required.
Correct. It's not a fair summary because the fair summary must notify Kindred what it did wrong, and it must connect the standard of care with breach and with causation. And I think it is because of the facts.
Are you saying that the doctor intervention, based on the notes, became an independent cause of whatever happened? In other words, it broke the chain of causal connection because the doctor was notified. Is that what you're trying to argue?
Well, no, I'm not arguing that. I'm arguing that Kindred was not notified what it did wrong by this report because those dots are not connected. And let me talk a little bit more about the specific instances that appellants are citing to. So,
can I ask you one question?
Yes,
really,
sure.
Fast? I don't mean to get you off your argument, but
yes.
Certainly this is a unique situation that you have one claim going forward against the doctor, but not against the hospital. If we agree with the district court's decision and affirm it, do you have an opinion as to whether Kindred can be listed as a responsible third party and have a line on the ultimate jury charge and the verdict form?
Yes, I do have an opinion on that.
I'd like to hear it if you don't mind.
And so I think that this is the whole reason a plaintiff must be meticulous in their expert reports. I think, yes, that there can be a blank on the charge for Kindred now because it's a preliminary determination. At the report stage, it's a statutory requirement. And so there's a lot of reasons why somebody wouldn't have a good expert report together. So I think it could be, you know, the...
By statute, you're still required to jump over this.
You still have to jump through that hoop. And once you miss that hoop, you get another 30 days to try to fix it. But then once you've missed that hoop and it's dismissed, then it can come back in. Facts can come in later. But that's why you have to hire a really good expert who gets the medical report. I mean, you have a total of 976 days to do that with the statute of limitations, with the time to answer, with all of the things that happen, the 120 days and the 30 extra days. So the plaintiffs have a lot of time to get that together, and they have to tell their experts, this doesn't do it. This doesn't connect all the dots. And, you know, I think that in this case, sometimes it's an inexperienced expert problem. But I really do think in this case, the more likely reason the expert report wasn't good enough against Kindred was because of the actual facts in the medical records. I think that the nurses did a wonderful job documenting in this case, and if the standard of care is documentation, it's hard to criticize them on that. I think that they, you know, they were assessing the wounds and treating each day, and wound assessment is one of the only parts of the standard of care in there. They don't talk about wound care in the standard of care of that report. Even though it's a 22-page report, It's just kind of a list of things. It's not, I don't know, it's not like the usual reports I see in my cases where they're really connecting standard of care breach and causation, especially as to Kindred. And I think, you know, this is a very sick man who's in a very in a vegetative state. He has renal failure, diabetes, lack of nutrition. He's being fed through a PEG tube. And when doctors are preparing those expert reports, they're having to adhere to their own Hippocratic oath, their own ethical obligations. And so it's harder, I think, to say somebody did something wrong when all the facts are lining up to where the Kindred nurses were doing what they were supposed to do.
But the expert report says, as a direct result of not identifying and receiving timely treatment, Young developed bacterial endocarditis, which resulted in an acute myocardial infarction and cardiogenic shock, resulting in his untimely death. How does that not connect the dots?
Well, it doesn't connect the dots because of the times that he said that it happened. For example, he talks in his report, the only bad outcome he's talking about is sepsis and death. I looked through it several times, and he doesn't talk about any other bad outcome, no other infection. So when he gets to the Plaza Medical Center and is tested on April 10th, he has, Enterococcus faecalis, which is that's what he tests positive for, that and MRSA. Well, back when all of these other things were occurring, back in February 17th, 2 months before that, what he's testing positive for is Klebsiella pneumoniae and Pseudomonas aeruginosa, which are lung bacteria and and sometimes urinary tract. So that's not connecting the dots to have some lab report allegedly not reported, even though it was documented to the doctor back on February 17th, and to have a completely different, unrelated to his outcome 2 months later.
But he seems to think that it is related. He said it was an ongoing infection process from January through April.
But an ongoing infection.
And he died on April 16th.
But an ongoing infection process with a different, completely different bacteria that has been, one bacteria that's been treated by the antibiotics he's already gotten, that doesn't make any sense for it to be ongoing. And especially in somebody this sick, he needed to explain how that bacteria got to cause the sepsis.
Isn't that what you argue about in trial, though? I mean, do you really hash that out at the expert report stage?
I think you do hash it out at the expert report stage to the extent you can't just list everything that happened. You can't just say, oh, he had some infection, and then he had a different infection 2 months later, and then he got sepsis, and then he died, and that was some ongoing process. I mean, I think that the doctor has to connect what happened on February 17th, that failure to report 2 months before of some urinary test, which was reported in the documentation, to that outcome. Now, if he had said, oh, he had this terrible infection on February 30th or February 20th, and it wasn't reported, and that was part of the damages, but the only damages he talks about in his report on, oh, that's before his standard of care. He's talking about this on 279. He's talking about the injury. So all those injuries starting on page 279 are just talking about the things that happened at the end of his life. They aren't talking about things that happened back in February 2017. And then I wanted to talk briefly about the causation related to the April 10th failure to report a lab. Well, at that point on April 10th, Dr. Siddiqui is already sending him to Plaza Medical. It's that's that same morning, those same reports, and there's no discussion in the report of how not reporting the lab on April 10th to a physician who's already sending him to the hospital that same morning, how that caused some sort of an outcome on that same day, April 10th.
Did you get your question answered that you originally asked?
I think so.
Okay.
Did you have another question that I didn't answer? I'm sorry.
It's okay. No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. With regard to the two reports and whether you can look at both reports, I would first argue you don't have to look outside of this report. But if you do look to the Dr. Siddiqui report, I do think that there's Supreme Court precedent that you can look at all the reports, and even the statutes tell you you can. I know it's not specifically in this situation. Usually it helps the plaintiffs that you can look at both the reports at the same time. But to me, you can't have it both ways, where you can only look at the two reports in one situation and then not be able to look at the two reports.
Well, I think the cases that say you can look at two say that you can add them up. 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, and 3 gets you to where you need to be. None of those say that you can take one and pit it against another. It just says you can augment that. It's a recognition that sometimes you don't have just one expert that can establish all those things. You need one expert for the standard and one expert for the causation.
Right. And I agree with that.
But are there any cases where you're actually allowed to pit them against each other? Because I have not
found one. But I think if you look at the facts in both reports, that's where the problem is. The facts are the same in both reports, so the facts don't add up to Kindred doing anything wrong if Kindred actually reported.
But ma'am, at the end of the day, all we are is at the notice stage. Why shouldn't we let the jury make that decision? Why couldn't you argue that in court why your client shouldn't be held liable versus the doctor? We're just talking about, can this case go forward?
Well, the legislature has decided that it couldn't go forward in this situation. The legislature has decided that if you haven't connected the dots, if you haven't notified Kindred of what it did wrong, or notified the trial court that the claim has merit, then it can't go forward. And that's the reason. It's the statutory preliminary prerequisite that has been placed on these cases.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court. The purpose of requiring a Chapter 74 report is to prevent frivolous lawsuits. The purpose is not to provide a mechanism where defendants can have a summary judgment motion before any discovery has been done, which is what Kindred is attempting to do and did attempt to do at the trial court level. They're trying to have this case evaluated on the merits, which is not the proper time to do that, when discovery hasn't been done, and we've only even had 120 days to get medical records, which I'm sure as the court is aware, it sometimes takes longer to do that. And that's why the standard is so lenient, and it's a fair notice standard. And this report does put Kindred on notice of the claims. Now, counsel made several arguments in her argument regarding how the report failed to link the standard of care to the breach of the standard of care to causation. And I would say that's incorrect. The report says the standard of care required Kindred through the nursing staff to monitor the patient and notify the physician of changes. The standard of care required them to adequately treat the patient, specifically with regard to his developing pressure sores. The breach section in the report says that they failed to notify Dr. Siddiqui. They failed to properly monitor Mr. Young for his developing pressure ulcers. They failed to properly and adequately treat those. When he came in, he didn't have pressure ulcers. Within a matter of a couple of months, he developed multiple pressure ulcers on his back, buttocks, scrotum, and penis. Those pressure ulcers then developed abscesses. This is clearly a case where they were not adequately treating these pressure ulcers. And then the causation sets forth that the failure to timely notify the physician, the failure of various things, the worsening pressure ulcers, the lab reports, the urinary tract infection, all of those that they failed to notify him of, led to a delay in treatment. And that delay in treatment is ultimately what caused Mr. Young's death. And had they properly notified Dr. Siddiqui within the adequate time frame, he would have been able to intervene and provide appropriate treatment, different antibiotics, and Mr. Young likely would have lived. And so the report puts them on notice of the acts of kindred that ultimately caused Mr. Young's injuries. And because it does that, the trial court abused its discretion in failing to find that the report was adequate. Thank you.
We thank you for your argument. Your case has been submitted. We have another case that will be argued after you. You can stay and listen if you'd like, or you can go on your way. Thank you.